I'm Pielo Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the good Republic of Kenya in the continent of Africa. Today we look at a subject which must preoccupy the minds of every African of goodwill and friends of Africa of goodwill, the issue of the silencing of the guns. The question of the silencing of the guns is one that must be seen in a historical context, particularly when we remind ourselves that African countries were colonized and they gained or regained their independence on the basis of artificial boundaries, a number of which have generated conflicts both within those territories and outside of those territories. Indeed, the very agreement which was initiated by conversation in Addis in 1963 and culminated in the Cairo decision to preserve the colonial boundaries is one that was designed to ensure that conflicts were reduced or were not allowed to take place. And it can be argued that since then, only two countries recognized internationally have emerged, and that is Eritrea, which separated from Ethiopia, and South Sudan, which separated from the Sudan. And all these were done with a view to ensuring that the conflicts were reduced. But that notwithstanding, conflicts still bedevil the continent of Africa, either in the form of civil wars, or in the form of insurgencies, or in the form of attempts at changing governments. We have seen civil wars in a number of countries. Nigeria fought a civil war which left scars which have yet to heal. We have seen civil war which is going on in the Cameroons. There was a civil war in Angola. There was insurgency in Mozambique. There was a civil war, or if you may, an insurgency in Somalia with the creation of an unrecognized Republic of Somaliland. There was a civil war or an insurgency in Ethiopia. There was a civil war, or if you may, continuing insurgencies in the Democratic Republic of Congo, insurgencies in the entire Sahel region, in Chad, instability in Libya, an ongoing civil war in the Sudan. And all these create an environment which do not lend themselves to economic development. And that is why the African continent then took the view that in order to realize the continent's potential, the guns must be silenced. And it is important also to remember that beyond the civil wars or the insurgencies, there have also been changes of power which sometimes create instability. Records show that since the year 1960, there have been two attempted coup d'etats in Africa. And all these come with certain pain, which then undermine economic growth. In the year 2020, the African Union said that that was the year of silencing the guns, that every initiative would be taken to ensure that there were no more conflicts in the continent of Africa. But beyond the proclamation, very little was done in real terms, in terms of ensuring that the guns were silenced. And one can give a number of examples which demonstrates that beyond pronouncement, very little is done. Look at a conflict that has persisted, for example, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which has remained alive on different intensities since 1991, when Patrice Emery Lumumba was assassinated. It is only for a short time during the administration of Mobutu that one can say that there was almost total control of the Democratic Republic of, of Congo and then a bit during Kabila 1 and Kabila 2. It is now estimated that there are no less than 100 armed groups in the Democratic Republic of Congo alone. To silence those guns has not been easy. Efforts have been made by different players. We had SADC sending in their troops. There have been attempts at negotiation by the president of Angola, João Lourenço. There have been attempts to negotiate them outside of the continent of Africa, involving the Qataris. Rwanda has also been involved in the mix, and we saw what happened. The president of the Republic of Rwanda, Paul Kagame, and President Tshisekedi were paraded in Washington, D.C., and we now know that that did not yield much. So there is a conflict there. The guns have not been silenced. And we have seen that there was also the major conflict that took place in Angola with the administration of Agostinho Neto and Jonas Malheiro Savimbi, which led to a major civil war, and that too did not end very well. Of course, after the death of Savimbi, things did quieten down, and it has undermined trade in that area. And we know what happened in Central African Republic, and we know what happened in Libya post Muammar al-Gaddafi, what happened in Chad after Deby. And all these are creating an environment that makes the country difficult to run and makes it impossible to undertake basic things such as in health, the building of infrastructure, the building of industries. And then you look at some of the more recent conflicts, which are internal conflicts. The Sudan. The Sudan is unique as we speak in the 21st century. A war that breaks out, and it has now acquired a character which has involved very many players. The African Union is helpless in determining what it can do, and what it does is to issue statements. So we now have a situation where more than 2 million people are displaced internally and externally in Chad, which means the guns are not silent and small arms are now being smuggled. It has actually been revealed that guns are coming from different parts of the continent of Africa, from as far as the United Kingdom, from as far as Bulgaria and Ukraine. And all these are used even by other non-state actors. And this is another thing that we must remind ourselves as Africa, that silencing the gun has become very difficult because of non-state actors who are not uniformed, who are not in any military formation, whose chain of command is unknown. And this is how we have in organizations such as Al-Shabaab, we have organizations such as Boko Haram, we have ISIL, and all these are operating within the continent of Africa and operating across boundaries. And even if one were to say, as Africa says, surrender your guns, they'll not surrender because their chain of command sometimes is also outside of the continent. It must also be remembered that the possession of guns through these bodies has also become a commercial enterprise. Kidnapping, for example, in places such as Cameroon and Nigeria has become a business enterprise. And we saw attempts at converting it into a business enterprise, even in places such as Somalia, when piracy also became a business enterprise and non-state actors on the East Indian Ocean in the coast of Somalia, way up to Mozambique, were also involved in these activities, which begs the question, therefore, when we talk about silencing the guns, the African Union, of course, realized that the guns had not been silent by the year 2020, and on the occasion of the 14th ordinary session of heads of states and government, they now say that we now have to silence the guns by the year 2030. But even that looks like a pipe dream. It looks like a pipe dream, because if one analyzes the conflicts that have arisen in the last few years, one sees that the conflicts are becoming more and more, and secessionist tendencies are becoming more and more pronounced, and the regional bodies are becoming weaker and weaker, and the African Union is becoming weaker and weaker. Let us analyze a few of them. Why is it that silencing the guns is also not very easy? The democracy project, as marketed to African countries by European countries to mean periodic elections, to mean multi-party state, to mean having all these indices which Western Europe tells us is what constitutes democracy, appears to be failing, because in many African countries, post-election chaos and post-election violence is almost becoming something that is to be expected. And even if it doesn't boil over, the dissatisfaction and intolerance that it occasions is a perfect breeding ground for discontent. We have seen such situations in Kenya in the year 2007. We have seen a similar situations in Tanzania in the year 2005. We have seen similar situations in Uganda. We have seen similar situations in different countries where election results are rejected. In the Sahelian region, we have seen that the ballot is no longer even accepted. And we have seen coup d'etats in Guinea, in Mali, in Niger, in Burkina Faso, and even in Central Africa, in Gabon, in Guinea-Bissau. And when that happens, insurgency and change of power by the power of the gun or through the barrel of the gun becomes the only avenue that is available to the people. The net effect, therefore, is that we find ourselves in a situation in the continent of Africa where, in order to silence the guns, there is need for Africans of goodwill at all levels to ask, what must we do to immunize ourselves from situations that lead to conflict? I think that many times, those who want to solve problems in Africa deal with the symptoms rather than the problem. They apply what I call band-aid solutions to what is a cancerous problem. And the cancer is bad governance. The cancer is greed and megalomania. The cancer is kleptocracy, thieving by African politicians. The cancer is the mobilization of people on the basis of religion and or ethnicity. And when that happens, then it becomes very difficult to create an environment where people's rights are respected, and therefore, if their rights are respected, then they can make decisions in an environment that is tranquil. 2030 will be with us. What then beyond lamentation and complaining must we do? African Union and the regional communities, I have said and say again, we must have a critical meeting at which we ask, what is the problem of governance in Africa? Having answered that question, we must answer the question, what must we do to answer that governance problem? And after we have said that, within what period must we deal with this? And it would require that all peoples who have arms, both state and non-state actors, are involved in this conversation, because it is only then that Africa will have an environment in which it can thrive, when the guns are truly silent and the environment is good for purposes political, economic, cultural, and development in its totality. Otherwise, we'll be engaged in a constant state of sorrow and lamentation, and that would be unfortunate.